I was going to ask you that. So nothing whatsoever. I'm guessing you're following your thyroid function.
So we check thyroid stimulating hormone on a regular basis. I think, most of the trials did it every 6 weeks. If people are fatigued, we end up getting it a little more frequently. Sometimes, well, it's every 8 weeks on that cycle. So sometimes we get it every 4 weeks. And particularly in patients who've had some abnormality of their TSH, sometimes we see them become hyperthyroid first and then hypothyroid. So you really want to catch that abnormality. And then I have a very low threshold for doing additional testing. For example, if a patient develops a cough or diarrhea or other, electrolyte abnormalities, et cetera, creatinine problems. But in this patient, she's had zero.
So, of course, we hear that story and that type of story in many different kinds of cancers nowadays. It's becoming kind of a little bit of a checkpoint world. But sort of globally, when you look at patients with breast cancer, maybe they're a little bit younger. As you look out over, let's say, a year, for example, in the metastatic setting, what's your usual estimate for the likelihood they're going to have a thyroid abnormality, the likelihood they're going to have something else?
I would say somewhere between 5 to 10% of our patients have a thyroid abnormality. It's interesting. It would be interesting to look at time frames in terms of safety in our studies going on with checkpoint inhibitors and breast cancer. I have a tendency to believe that if you're going to get an immune toxicity, you tend to get it early. There's been some time courses in the articles published over the last couple of years, kind of interesting, where you can actually see late immune toxicity with colitis and pneumonitis and other kinds of things like that. And I'm sure that's true for thyroid. It's just that, most of the cases we tend to uncover relatively early. It's interesting. I've seen patients who've developed relatively severe colitis and relatively severe rash with exposure to a single dose of checkpoint inhibition. So it doesn't seem to be so related to having, lots and lots of exposure to the checkpoint inhibitor, although, you do accumulate more cases over time. Those are rare, but if you treat a lot of patients with checkpoint inhibitors on clinical trials, you're going to see more of this, and you have to have a fairly high suspicion. I had a patient also who had cytopenias, one patient. You can count them all, right? Because these are unusual toxicities. I've never seen renal toxicity, for example. I've never seen cardiac toxicity or pulmonary toxicity.
I've heard it all. I've heard everything. Yeah. Sitting in this chair, everything. Cardiomyopathy.
I bet.
But, I was trying to think, what triggered me to ask you about thyroid? And now I know what it was when we first started hearing about checkpoint inhibitors in Hodgkin lymphoma. And they're, again, you're seeing younger people, and they were saying, we got to really keep an eye on the thyroid. And so maybe, I don't know, maybe it has something to do with age or whatever.
I don't think that, so far we really haven't seen any variation in age where we see really, I would say overall the population I treat might be a little bit younger than the global population of breast cancer just because of the nature of my practice, but we see it across the board.